Hi, Vicky.
Why, hi, Doug. Here we are looking at or listening to or putting together conversation number 20.
Right. Last time we talked about Sky Jatani's book, With, and since that time we were actually able to go on a retreat based on that, which was fantastic.
Yeah, we were able to be with 30 friends from around, probably you would say Europe.
Yeah, and
we had
Europe.
A fantastic weekend. We even had good weather and no rain, which is amazing.
And you took care of all the food you cooked and did great despite getting over COVID.
Yeah, so just getting over my second bout of COVID. And I don't know where you stand, people with vaccines, but I would encourage you, if you can get the booster, do, because this was really a rough couple of weeks for me.
Right. I dodged the bullet.
Well, you've also had the vaccine.
I'm 2 years older than Vicky. She wasn't old enough to get it from the British government. But, you know, last time I ended with a great quotation, and there are a lot of quotations from With, but the Sky Jatani said, Jesus didn't die merely to inaugurate a mission, and that ties in with the life for God posture, or to give us a second chance at life from God. He didn't endure the cross just to demonstrate a principle of life for others, life over God, or to appease divine wrath, life under God. And while each of these may be rooted in truth and affirmed by Scripture, it's only when we grasp God's unyielding desire to be with us that we begin to see the ultimate purpose of the cross. He continues, it's more than a vehicle to rescue us from death. It transports us into the arms of life. The cross is how we acquire our treasure. It's how we find unity with God. I remember last time I mentioned a few videos. One was The Mountain, one was the jerks being the two sons in Luke 15, and The Treasure. And I actually showed a couple of those at the beginning of our retreat. But such a great book. We're really interested in seeing how people would have reacted and integrated this into their lives. And that's why we said last time we wanted to have two conversations on With. So the first time is really based on our reading and discussions, but now we've been with over 30 other people from England mainly, Ireland, Norway, Scotland, and it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we talked about in conversation 18 was the fairly common idea these days of deconstructing and reconstructing. And really for me, the book With was able to put markers on places in my life where I've either misunderstood, misconstrued some things, and then being together with us and hearing their experience, and really it's like a guided discovery to really consider how we can reconstruct our relationship and be with God.
Yeah.
and have perhaps a clearer view, a clearer understanding of his love for us.
Yeah, we don't know how many of you bought the book and read it at our recommendation, but the first half of the book, where he talks about the different postures, life from, for, over, and under God, that's the deconstruction part. That's the way of thinking about God that's not healthy. But it's deeply rooted in church culture, doctrine, practice. The second half of the book is the reconstruction, because there the author talks about life with God, and particularly faith and hope and love.
Yeah, it's amazing, because in a weekend it shows us that we can actually do a lot of good. It doesn't have to take years, a little thought, a little contemplation about what has gone on in the past, things we may wish we had done differently, and then a very good direction to put things together with a group of spiritual men and women. And I think that was the thing that came out to me from the retreat.
Yeah.
Is it was spiritual. It wasn't about leadership. It wasn't about direction the church needs to go in.
At one point in the sharing, someone said, we're all leaders here. And I looked around the room, over 30 people, and I think, well, maybe everyone in the room was or is a leader. But the typical spiritual age at this retreat was probably about 30 or 35.
Well,
there are only a couple people who have been Christians 20 years, and a number of us over 40.
Well, I think even when we're saying leaders, we're talking about people even who've been paid staff. But I think also that for me, once you take on being a Christian, you are going to be leading people.
That's right.
Leading yourself, leading your family, leading others. But still, it was great to be with people who really cared about their walk with God more than their position.
Before we share some of the juicy nuggets and the application here, I'd like people just to hear how the retreat was put together. It was spacious. We booked out a house, really a mansion, 17 bedrooms, and we over 30 people, we filled it. There's lots of room to talk inside, 6 lounges. We're on this huge estate right on Lake Windermere, which is great for walking. It was great to be in nature. A lot of people took advantage of it. Some people like you, Vicky, went into the lake, even though it was 10 degrees, 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, we had a guided discovery going into the lake to do what is commonly called in England to dip, yes. which in water below 16 degrees, centigrade, gives you a total mental, spiritual, physical reset.
Right. It's a cold shower, except even colder.
We were with nature.
We did have some sessions, but I added up the hours of the session. So we met from people arrived on Friday evening. We had dinner and left on Monday morning. But the total sessions only came to 5 hours.
And they were completely optional. We let people decide what they needed to come to so they could retreat. And if you needed sleep, have it.
I looked around at one of the sessions and I looked, every single person's here. And we had a sunrise communion on the Sunday. It was Remembrance Sunday, which corresponds to Armistice Day in Europe or to Veterans Day in the United States. And there were just, for health reasons, someone wasn't there, but nearly the whole group was there for the sunrise communion service around the fire pit.
Yeah, but that was an incredible time to remember those, even in the families who have served in wars, right. But then to really remember Jesus and to remember what God has done for us and what he calls us to.
And then I thought about the word retreat. I became a Christian, or let's say greatly accelerated me, because of a retreat I attended. I almost missed it. We went off into the woods, but it was very intense. So my experience of most retreats I've been to is that this is not really a time where you're going to get much sleep. There are all these classes and messages, a lot of the times indoors, and sometimes there'll be competitions, which means winners and losers. And often, as a very young Christian, I would feel very excited really by anything I attended. But as the years went on, I would feel more discouraged leaving the retreat because I felt like it wasn't a retreat. It was more like charge.
Yeah,
you need to work harder, move faster. Yeah. So we were really trying to create, facilitate an environment where people could connect with the Lord. Well, we wanted to share with you what made the event so refreshing and what such an experience could mean for leading joyful and meaningful Christian lives. But we realize this could be quite wide in its usefulness because it's a time of uncertainty for so many people globally, around the world.
Right. It's huge. And I think whether you in America, whoever you voted for, there's a huge element of surprise right now and uncertainty on all sides of the political divide.
Right.
And we feel that keenly because we are all, globally now, we are so connected and we are very much interdependent on each other.
Yeah, all around the world and all my different news apps, the leading story for weeks has been the U.S. elections. And I guess if you're listening, you know when we're talking. This is actually 8 days after that election. That uncertainty, I've been in touch this last week with brothers and sisters in Lebanon, in Israel, Ukraine, Europe, Africa, South America, just crazy things happening everywhere. Oh, or here in Britain, you may have heard about the resignation of the Archbishop of Canterbury. That was today, wasn't it?
It was yesterday, actually.
Yesterday,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, there are so many things going on. I think even for some who are familiar with our family of churches and some of our sort of relative churches, they're going through an absolutely huge upheaval. And these times we wonder what is going on. And we're like, is everything coming apart? Is the world deconstructing? A little bit like that. That's maybe how we feel. And it really calls us to question a little bit our world point of view and to understand what is the kingdom of God.
Right. It is certainly not a nation or a political party. Well, on the book, I love that I read it twice and I skimmed it once. And I think pretty much everyone at the retreat had read it and really appreciated it. What did you like, Vicky? What struck you?
I think for me, as I mentioned a little earlier, it's being able to look succinctly at the past and say, oh, I was on this path. It's not a tightrope, but maybe I took a bit of a dead end here and I misunderstood some of the things, some of the postures, and I've entered into some of those postures. Right. I think for more than half of us, we really associated with that four posture.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if we'd been on staff at some point in a congregation.
And at this retreat, there were a number of people who used to be on staff, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple who still are. One.
I'm not sure, but.
Two. Yeah, maybe two out of the whole group.
But that didn't lead to any hierarchy.
No, this that was not, nice.
Which was
no,
lovely. This was all about your spirituality.
There was a respect. You wouldn't know. And one thing I did is I deliberately, apart from reviewing the book in the beginning, the opening session, and just sharing how I messed up, how this affected me, I really tried to be in the background. I was not even the MC.
Well, I think that's wanted it. It was to be a circle, to be a community. So for me, I think then looking at things and being able to share with others, how do we constructively, in some ways, go forward on an individual level, but we later on got to share a little bit how this book has been able to influence small groups as well.
Right. I took a lot of notes, though, as people were sharing, and there were so many opportunities for this. And I paid attention to the postures of with. That they referred to. Now, sometimes they were saying, I was brought up in an under posture, or maybe for, you know, if they were if they were brought up with health and wealth. But the posture that seemed to dominate, the one people talked about the most, was for, as you mentioned. And just to refresh you, for life for God, that approach aims to accomplish great things for God. And Jatani notes, it's some great goal, understood to be initiated by God, carried forward by us, defines everything and everyone.
And it's interesting because that actually ties in to probably six or seven of the conversations that we've had as we have in ourselves realized how we had been in that posture.
Right. So we had the one on Matthew 18, Matthew 28, the one on love, Ephesians 4, John 15, what is fruit, counting the cost. The one on leadership, authority. I think we did these. I was involved those before I'd ever read with. You recommended that book to me, mm-hmm. I guess, the beginning of the year. But that was the dominant posture. And as Jatani says, that posture puts God's mission ahead of God himself. And so I observed that the majority of the brothers and sisters are trying to break out of that for posture.
Yeah, so the book was really helpful as a framework, as a construct, to be able to say, how can I dismantle some of this without just saying everything's bad, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
No, but so some of the comments that were made, one brother shared that his significance, his perception of his own significance, tied into his ministry performance. And that these were inversely related. The more he performed in the ministry, the less happy he felt, and the more burdened he felt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was often during very rough times, or times where he wasn't being very productive, as some would measure it, that's when he felt close to God.
Right. I remember very clearly feeling a lot like that when I did work in ministry, and we would keep a lot of statistics. And when you'd be studying the Bible with someone, you did really well because you were having a personal study, you were moving somebody along, you know, towards becoming a Christian. They were attending church services and it checked a lot of those or ticked a lot of those boxes. But then they got baptized and that should have been a time of great rejoicing. But I remember thinking, oh no, I've now got to go and look for another personal visitor. I mean, that's how statistics affected me in that fall thing.
I just finished this race, this 10,000 meter race, and
I got to start again.
I got to get back to the starting blocks. One person said that the retreat on With put words to the cognitive dissonance I've felt for years. And this was a sister who said that she'd been, through the years, she'd been leaning more and more in the direction of With, you know, really trying to prioritize the relationship with God. But that was in conflict sometimes with church culture, which would make her feel slightly guilty, but not anymore. But that kind of cognitive dissonance, we're telling people it's all about God, but it seems to be all about achievement.
It did help identify some different paths, didn't it?
There was a brother, very intense brother, who said that for a long time, his favorite scripture was Luke 17:10. Well, that's the end of the, it's the, when you've done everything you've been told to do, like the servant, you just say, I'm an unworthy servant. You know, I'm just doing what I've been asked to do. And he viewed himself that way, but he's been moving much more in the direction of understanding he's a friend of God. And yes, we are servants and we are unworthy. I'm not contradicting Jesus. But in John 15, Jesus says we're more than servants. We're friends because we know the master's will. But there was such a sense of excitement.
And yeah, it was very encouraging, very liberating.
There was one guy, he was brought up in a very traditional church setting. And he said that for him, it was a positive experience. And he felt very much in the presence of God. And when he became part of ICOC culture, he was felt like he was being dragged away from his relationship with God, kicking and screaming. And yes, he needed to be more committed, but it took him years to, finally, we're really trying to prioritize the With.
Yeah,
but
he felt he was pulled more to with a system and pulled away from God. That was sad to hear.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we actually had probably a 20-minute discussion. Many people talked about the various study series around the world. Do you want to say anything about that?
No, you go ahead, because I think I might not have been there for that.
No, you were actually collecting.
I was cooking, perhaps. Yes.
Yeah, those 8 meals. But from one sister's perspective, the study series were intended to humiliate the non-Christian and thus to put them in a position where they'd be baptized. Now, other people in the room said, that wasn't my experience. I found it incredibly helpful because it was just what I was missing. I needed the kick. I needed the challenge. Every part of the world has different cultures. Every church has different study series.
The truth is, everyone's different. And I think there's the downside. Oh, yeah. It's great to have structure, but when one size fits all and we've got to get everyone to a certain point of perhaps, quote unquote, what we consider repentance or brokenness, damage can really be done.
I shared and confessed that, I mean, one of the books I've put together has, well, technically 65 studies, but it's got 3 whole series for non-Christians. And in Britain, we call it Guard the Gospel. And it's, you know, like the word and discipleship, seeking God and Jesus and sin and so forth. And then there's a series of follow-up studies. Having a relationship with God, like, you know, having time to pray or, you know, study, that's one of the follow-up studies. That's not even in one of the basic studies. And I said that really hits you, you know, because, you know, it's supposed to be about God.
Really.
But really, the series is designed to help people become church members. And I think I talked about that a lot in the counting the cost conversation.
Right.
But a lot of people have been starting to use With, that is Jatani's book, in their ministry. And what one of the brothers said was very interesting. Do you mind reading that? You want me to read it?
You go ahead, please.
Okay. This is in England. He said, we've actually spent the last few weeks learning from this book. Other times we study through themes in scripture or share about life or just eat together. But what we're coming to realize more and more is the power and beauty of being with God in all those moments, not just the ones we typically consider to be religious. Our whole group, in one way or another, has been stifled spiritually by regulations, endless dogma, various routines, all of which have the aroma of Jatani's 4 defective postures. That was put very eloquently, quoting this brother. And it was also interesting because our friends who came from Oslo, they were already familiar with the book.
Yeah, they had read it. A number of people in their group had read it at a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then it's a book that helps you as an individual, but then as we change, then there's a commonality there that what we're looking for is to be with God.
Right.
Direction.
And so that's for a church of, you know, almost 100 people. And they're really conscientiously, as a leadership team, trying to move away from the other postures, particularly the four posture, and move on. And people seem to be very encouraged, though not everyone's comfortable with it. They said some people don't like it, but almost the whole church loves it.
Yeah. We're never going to find, because we're individuals, we're never going to find one thing that is there for everyone.
A brother put it this way: engaging with Jatani's arguments reinforced for me the importance of constantly reconstructing, which really just amounts to having a continually reflective belief which has one objective, that is, to be more and more possessed by God. And he says, at one time or another in my life, I feel like I lived under all four of the defective postures that Jatani articulates. And I think most of us in the retreat saw ourselves in all of those wrong postures. Although, as I said, four was by far the dominant
one. I like the way putting it, defective postures, because it isn't. The only one that is effective is to be with God.
That's right. Defective, effective. And but I think what this showed us is that the book is really a great tool. I mean, it's helping a congregation in Scandinavia. It's helping a house church in England and
small family group.
Yeah.
And then the individual and leading to increased spirituality and awareness.
Yeah. I could share some more things that others have said, but basically tremendous encouragement. How about just this? The freedom to explore a more creative discipleship has been invaluable. In fact, there are a couple of people in our group who, but for that freedom, were about to give up on the faith altogether. And so treating people as individuals, not trying to make everyone come to God the same way or relate to God as we might, that's
valuable,
crucial.
Worthy individuals as well, equals. That's so important.
Right. Well, is there anything else we should share?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that encapsulates a lot of what has gone on.
Yeah. I mean, I really appreciated the words of a couple of the senior leaders in a large UK church. They said, thank you for inviting us to what has been one of the most memorable spiritual experiences of our lives. And this is these are people who have been Christians 40 plus years, and they loved, how did they put it? We thoroughly enjoyed exploring and learning together.
Mm.
And so that with, it's with God, but it's not just relationship with God, it's relationship with fellow believers.
Right. I think this all culminated for us then was in a time of worship on Sunday. We had this early morning sunrise communion, then we had breakfast, and then we came together just to sing and praise God, really. And that, I think, one of my friends shared with me that, you know, being moved to tears a number of times because of worshiping together.
Right.
It was very, very memorable.
Yeah. It's not quite the same as doing it online.
No, for us, it was very, very special.
Be right there.
And then I think that this one of the songs that
we sang,
Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord? I was looking to see if we've got the words to that. A song we haven't sung for many years.
Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view.
Right. Let you sing that.
Yes. Take a look, open your eyes. Yeah,
that one. That really was how we felt. I think we saw God, we experienced Jesus in community together. It was very, very encouraging.
Well, I wanted to read one more. And I know I used it in Conversation 19, but for this conversation, 20, from the book. The primary purpose of our worship gathering, preaching, and programs, and I would add retreats, should be to present a ravishing vision of Jesus Christ. When people come to see who he is and what God is like, treasuring him becomes the natural outcome. Yet in many places, the vision of Christ remains hidden behind shadows, while lesser glories, often some variation on the culture's values or the church's mission, are given the spotlight. And then we scratch our heads in bewilderment when people leave the church disappointed and unsatisfied, or they fail to engage.
Mm.
Yeah. My congregation needs a swift kick in the tail to share their faith, one pastor told me, and what his people probably need is a clear vision of who Christ is, a vision I'm guessing the pastor needs as well. And our group, yeah, there were a lot of people with leadership experience. None of us said, oh, no, we've always had the right posture. We've always been with God. The spotlight was shown on us, and where our thinking has been wrong, our practices. And so it was very validating that this was a great choice of book, just hearing everyone share so meaningfully about how this is changing their lives, their ministries, their perspective on who God is.
I think we realized, too, that this book could be helpful. You don't have to go on a retreat. It could just even be your own family. You could get together, read that book, and then have some special times set apart over a weekend to be able to have discussion, just to free up space and time and to let God. I think we started out by having a short devotional to really make sure we would enter a new threshold. We'd listen to the Spirit. We would let go of the past and all the troubles that we came in with, so that really we can move forward and we can hear God. Because as one person shared, you know, the wind blows, but we all feel it, you know. Yeah. It's in one direction.
Right. I mentioned those short videos before. If you're listening to this and you have kids, and actually the videos are great for adults, but they're like 4, 5, 6 minutes, you can find these either at the Conversations page or just go online. And they're sketches, like doodles. I mean, so it's the author speaking, and he's drawing.
It's dynamic, though.
Yeah, it's dynamic.
It's engaging.
Yeah, it's quite catchy. So that would be a great way to make advantage as well. And I heard a number of people saying, oh, can we do this again? Or we want to do this in our country. So this is, we don't have to have loads of lessons and classes and discipleship groups and challenges to inspire our brothers and sisters. The inspiration comes from the Spirit.
Yes.
And that's what we were really trying to.
And will direct us if we can listen to the Spirit and let ourselves be redirected to be with God rather than in a defective posture.
Well put. Well, anything else you want to add?
I think that's probably it for with right now.
That's it. So, oh yeah, I want to say one thing I mentioned in the closeout. You might say, well, I'm not living from God, under God, not trying to be over God or just do for God. But that doesn't mean you're living with God, because it could be without. Just because you're not trapped up in the wrong postures doesn't mean everything's okay, because you could be without.
We can be outside the camp, can't we? And just looking in. We can be an observer, but that's not what
right, and we can be critics. Sometimes critics will say, well, that's wrong. I don't like that. That's wrong. But that's not sufficient. You actually need to be walking the walk yourself.
Yeah, and under perhaps we can say under construction.
Yeah, we all are works in progress.
Yes.
All right, well, good afternoon, Vicky.
All right, good afternoon. Bye for now.
Bye.